Folks, if you're thinking about interviewing anytime soon, now is the time to start preparing. Interviewing is not about smarts. It's not about personality. It's all about preparation in the modern age as more and more companies use more and more tools to separate the wheat from the chaff. Our interviewing series is over 50 podcasts that go through in detail every step of the interview, how to prepare, how to dress, resumes, cover letters, how to chit-chat, how to answer tell me about yourself and your leadership style and significant accomplishments with repeated examples, how to close, how to ask questions, how to follow up, everything in enormous detail because we know interviewing for most people is a black box. Come and check it out. Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on resumes 2015. Okay, Wendy, time for our annual resume guidance on this year in 2015. It's the only repeating guidance we give that is timely rather than timeless, even though technically it's pretty timeless. Resumes haven't changed that much, right?
Oh, no, I was going to go to like 4 pages and change the font and start putting my age back on there.
There you
no,
go.
No, okay, we'll carry on doing them the same since they're effective.
Yeah, so what we're saying is that the resume has not changed despite what you're reading in blogs or in various places and Twitter feeds and so on. The video is a joke, and basically the resume is a one-page reverse chronological description of the role that you were in and your accomplishments, right?
Yep.
Simple. So let's talk about our guidance for this year, or at least address those things that are in the marketplace.
So the 4 things we're going to cover is use multiple methods for searching for jobs, which has become more important in the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get an internship, assess your transferable skills, and change your resume when it doesn't work.
Wow. Okay. Those last couple surprised me since they don't really seem about resumes. So, okay. Multiple methods for searching for jobs. What do you mean?
We've talked about this before in the previous updates, that the job market became more disintermediated, meaning that the candidates had more access directly to jobs. So it used to be that you had to go through an HR department or you had to go through a recruiter, and now you can go to job boards, you can go to LinkedIn, you can go to Twitter, you can go, you know, a thousand ways to directly access the jobs that are available. And every time some new kind of technology is invented, somebody will try it out. Like, I'm pretty sure it's Zappos, but they always seem to end up as the example. But they have like a club that you join, and then they send you emails, and that's the only way to find out that there's a job there, which is just bizarre. But everybody is going to try something, and the thing that works, people kind of congregate around. And so we have guidance on all those different methods of finding jobs, but it doesn't mean that the old ways go away. The number one way to find a job is network. It's always been network, and it always will be network. And it's like 70%. It's never, you know, it's not like it's 20% and all the rest are lower. It's 70%. It's massive.
And I think what's important is people don't understand that when Monster or another job board or LinkedIn get a lot of press, it's because the press focuses on things that are new. And the fact that it's 1 or 2 or 3% of the market in the first couple of years of a new system, oh, it's new, and it really got, they helped a lot of people, and the next year it doubles, and the next year it doubles again. And it's still, that goes from 1% of the market to 2% of the market to 4% of the market, when in fact, it's all about your connectivity, your network, and what does everybody ask for in your network the moment you start talking to them about looking for a new job? You got a resume? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good.
So, I mean, if I looked at the Monster's earnings for the last year, and their earnings haven't gone down. So Monster has not got less jobs or less advertising, which is their revenue model, than it had a year ago.
But to be fair, Wendy, I also looked at Monster's revenue, and part of the reason their revenue didn't go down was they have more sources of revenue.
Okay.
Not all of which are necessarily as closely related to helping people get jobs. So I would actually guess that therefore they're less effective now at getting jobs than they used to be, partially because there's so many other competitors.
Mm-hmm.
We're not against Monster.
Yeah. Would you agree with me that it's still an opportunity to find jobs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm absolutely in favor of people going to Monster. Now, I think 10 years ago, when Monster started, I don't quote me on 10 years, guys. I think it was a company would post a job. Now, mm-hmm. recruiting companies post jobs, right? I mean, and they're trolling. They're using Monster to troll for opportunities, I think. And so people are simply using a digital venue, Monster, to go back to the old way of doing things because recruiting firms are notoriously greedy. And I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. Maybe I do a little bit. But yeah, so yeah, I'm actually in favor of Monster. I think it's fine. If that's the way you get a job, good.
Yeah. So all of those things like job board aggregators and LinkedIn, right, and, you know, agency recruiters, those things are all there, and those things are all possibilities to get a job. And then there's all the new things on top, like Twitter and Facebook and company websites. And companies, I think we said this last year, are advertising on their own websites a lot more because it's free. So there's a much bigger range in that other 30% that isn't network than there used to be. And so the important thing for people and their resumes is to look specifically at the companies and the jobs that you want and find out how they do it. So for instance, if you want a job in the NHS in the UK, which is the National Health Service, mm-hmm. you have to go to their portal and you have to be registered on it and you have to fill in all the forms, and that's the only way you can get a job there. So if you want a job at the NHS, you have to know that. Companies usually have one or two or three preferred ways of getting hires, and so you need to go find out what those things are and then be there rather than thinking, I'll go to Monster and they have everything and so I'm bound to find something. If you do that, then your profile stays up to date. And one of the ways of updating your profile is to update your resume, because the two things are similar.
Yeah. We want you to reach out in all areas looking for a job and yet recognize that your network is not only where you're likely to get a job from, even if your network is not that good, it's also the most likely place you'll find to learn about open positions, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. So it's interesting you say get an internship. I'd like to just talk for briefly about, you mentioned recruiters, and I want to talk about something that's happened to me recently. It's not in the show notes, but I thought I'd share it with everybody. People start asking us, they say, hey, look, I'm getting some feedback that my one-page Maynard or Trill's resume is not helpful. So, okay, good. So tell me more. Well, you know, I talked to this guy. He says he really needs a four-page resume. And I've now learned that the right thing to do, I always assumed that when somebody was telling me this, they were willing to change their resume for a company that wanted to interview them. Okay, fine. A company wants something different. Okay, fine. But I just assumed that, and I would tell them, well, you know, we disagree with that, but if you want to do it, go ahead. And now I've discovered that 90% of the time when people say this to me, they do not mean that the company wants a four-page resume. In fact, very few companies do. There are exceptions. Academia is an exception, but academia is horrible at hiring, so you wouldn't want to learn too much from them. And no offense to you guys in academia, but you are. I love you, but you are. But what it is recruiters. And people say, well, the recruiter says this. I say, okay, fine. If you need to do a four-page resume for your recruiter because you like your recruiter and you're willing to do that for him or her because they say that it's going to be helpful to you, great. Okay, fine. I'm not going to tell you not to do that. Guys, to be clear, the company that they are going to put you in touch with does not need you to have a four-page resume. The recruiter is asking you to do what they don't want to do and put every single thing you've ever done down so that they can increase the chances of putting you in touch with more companies, which is both good and bad, but that's part of our recruiter guidance, which we did 8-10 years ago, and we encourage you to go to that podcast. That is not a resume. They're going to call it a resume because they can say resume, and you know you owe them a resume. But what they're trying to do is get the company to say, wow, look at all this stuff, and they're trying to get you an interview, which of course is the purpose of a resume. The company doesn't want that. Okay. HR may be saying, you know, I want more information. And so the recruiter, who mistakenly thinks you work for them, tells you, I want more stuff. That's not a resume. That is an amalgamation of a resume and the kind of work that recruiters used to do, developing information about candidates when they focused on individual candidates rather than simply blanketing the marketplace and sending out as many resumes as they possibly could. And the recruiter feels obligated in part to do it because if the client hints that they want more information, because the client pays the recruiter's going to jump. But when the recruiter asks you for a four-page resume, it's not because they're really asking you for a resume. They're asking you to do their job. I'm not saying you shouldn't give it to them, but that's not your resume. That's a thing you give to the recruiter to help them try to get you more jobs, and it doesn't work very well. A one-page resume is preferred by clients, and if you're right for the job, it'll be on the one-page resume. The third and fourth page are not going to be looked at. They're just not.
Lazy recruiters.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. The next thing you say is get an internship.
Yeah. So one of the things we hear a lot or is written a lot is I can't get a job without experience and I can't get experience without a job. And I see this a lot for new grads. So people that have graduated in the last 5 years, especially English lit majors for some reason, say, you know, I did my degree. I've got all this debt because they're in the US and they had to pay for it. And now I can't get a job. Well, one of the ways to get a job is to get an internship. Whether it's paid or unpaid doesn't really matter to the experience. Right. If you can afford to do it and be unpaid and get that experience, then that's a good thing. So I didn't know how to get an internship, so I just Googled internships. And there is internships.com, amazingly enough. And there are 115,000 internships on there. So anybody who says I can't get experience, like, I just beat you, because there was everything on there. They were all over the country, they were in all sorts of companies, they were in all sorts of areas, and you don't need to have an internship that's exactly the job that you want to do. So if you did accountancy and you want to be an accountant and you have an internship in an accounts office and all you end up doing is the filing, that experience is still relevant, right? Because you actually start to understand how the office works and you understand how the different roles interact and you understand how they interact with their clients because you're paying attention to what's going on around you. So you don't necessarily need to look for the experience that is actually what you would do on the job that you want to do it on.
Right. And let's also say this. I know there are a lot of people listening go, I can't do an internship. You know, I need to make money, or that's only for kids. Well, certainly it's much more likely for a young college graduate who's looking for opportunities, somebody just out of university. On the other hand, if you already have a job and you're looking to change fields, you could do an internship working for a nonprofit. You could volunteer for a nonprofit as well. You could raise funds for somebody. You could do, there's all kinds of things you can do. And now if you're out of a job, an unpaid internship may not help. On the other hand, if you're sitting there saying, I'm not making any money and I don't have any time, and an internship is one way to get it. And I think too many people want to go from 0 to 100, meaning I don't have a job, I want a job tomorrow, please help me. And after a year, basically, you need to start thinking, I'm going to need to go from 0 to 1. If people are telling you don't have experience and you want to go into that area, then my suggestion is be willing to consider an internship. And our guidance is do whatever you can to increase the chances. And what people often say to us is, well, that's not going to, you know, that doesn't guarantee anything. Well, okay. All right, fine. I'm sorry. We're not in the guarantee business. We're in the moving you forward so you'll increase your chances business.
Yeah. And if you're unemployed and sitting at home looking for a job, then you can absolutely afford to spend 4 hours, 3 days a week volunteering, you know, or on an unpaid internship, doing something in a back office somewhere. Because, you know, I looked at our local dog shelter, but I also know the aquarium in Monterey, all the jobs where, you know, you get to touch the animals and play with the penguins or play with the dogs are all taken because everybody wants to do that. But the back office things, like, you know, accountants and PR and marketing and all those things that people find it really hard to get experience in, they're desperate for. And they all say, work from home, any hours you want, you know, we'll take it because they need you. So I'm going to take no excuses.
And one way to get to internships is join a professional organization. We recommend that to people. There are opportunities to gain experiences there. I mean, and there are people that expands your network, and there are opportunities to assist them. And everybody else who's there is probably busy with their full-time job and you're not, and so you can help out. And I got to tell you, if I'm in your organization and you're looking for a job in our area and you're in our organization, you say, look, I'm looking for a job and so I have more time than you guys, so I'll help out. I say, this is my kind of guy. And suddenly I look at you differently.
I was in Toastmasters for 3 months before I was voted president of our group. Not because I was any better than anybody else, but because I was kind of willing and thought, okay, I can do that. It doesn't sound too hard. Yeah, and that was because, you know, everybody else said, I haven't got time, you know, I've got other things to do.
Yeah, because you just have tons of time working.
Yeah, here. I do have tons of time, but, you know.
That's funny. Okay.
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, next thing. Well, I was kidding. Now I'm suddenly questioning. So assess your transferable skills.
Yeah. So a transferable skill is any skill that can be used in multiple professions. So, for example, there's few jobs in the world that don't need project management skills. Even if you're shelf stacking in a store, you've got to get the pallet to your aisle. You've got to decide which order you're going to put them in. You've got to manage your time so that the things are stacked in the time before the end of your shift. You know, there's all sorts of things to consider, which are actually... It's a short project, but it's still a project, and you have to complete it on time and on budget, which means don't drop everything or break it. And to spec, you know, all the cans have to be turned the right way and it has to be on the edge of the shelf. And there's rules about those things. And so if you've had that job and you apply for a job that says project management, you can use that in your resume.
Right.
And people don't really, they start to think they don't have skills because they can't transfer those. They can't imagine transferring those skills, or they can't break down the activity they did.
Right. Or what they do is they assume that the skill is exactly what the company wants. And if the job has been open for a while, and in fact, I just read a Wall Street Journal article about, are you noticing the advertisement is still there? Yes, jobs are staying open longer. You allow the company to say, I see where that could translate. And if you're going to say, well, I don't have it, and then you don't do it, and you're not going to put it on your resume, then they're never going to get a chance to translate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And transferable skills have kind of fallen out of fashion. Like, people don't talk about them as much because IT was so specific.
Yeah, either you can write code or you can't, right? And so there's no transferable skill there.
Yeah.
And so candidates have overused that to say, well, no, yeah, I can't, right? Everything is that way, when in fact, writing code is a very specific thing and most everything else is not.
Yeah. And even writing code, if you have the choice as a hiring manager, if you have the choice between someone who can write average code but can get on with QA, can talk to clients, can do some project management, knows how to keep a budget, and a guy who writes amazing code but starts a fight with everyone, you choose the average guy because code can be taught, and not starting fights is a much harder skill to teach.
Yeah.
So all of those skills that you have, all those transferable skills, the skills like project management, like running meetings, like budgets, all of those things need to be on your resume as accomplishments. We have a podcast with examples of accomplishments, so you have to write them in a particular way so that they're valuable.
Right.
But when you're writing your resume, think about all of those things that are useful in any job and make sure they're on your resume.
Okay. And then the last thing you have is change your resume when it doesn't work.
Yeah. So the biggest test of the resume is not whether it's in the right format or not, whether it's in the right font or not, whether it's in color, whether it's, you know, an infographic or whatever. And you said it earlier, recruiters want longer resumes, and they'll tell you, don't give me a one-page resume for a particular reason. Like, right. It's their reason, not yours. And the only test is it getting you interviews?
Right.
Everybody has an idea about format. If you give somebody a resume, anybody, 20 people off the street, you'll have 22 opinions. And clearly we believe that our format is the best because of the experience that we've had. And, you know, people will ask you for different things. But if you get an interview for every two resumes that you put out, your resume is fine.
Yes.
And if you don't, you need to look at your resume and ask yourself, what is on here or what is missing that I am not getting interviews?
Yeah, I would actually say it a little bit differently than that. I think it's important for people who are joining us. Our audience continues to grow. And the issue, I think, is that some people have not done the hard work of creating a career management document about which we have previous guidance, guys. And we recommend you customize your resume to the company you're sending it to. If you've created a one-page resume, that's all. All you have is one page. And this is less true for a college graduate because it's unlikely a fresh college graduate or someone just out of university because you don't have a lot to customize. But if you've got 10 years in the workplace, your career management document where you've captured all the things you've done might be 2 or 2.5 pages long. And it's much more detailed, and you would never send it to anybody unless you thought it was perfect for somebody who wanted a 4-page resume, like a recruiter, for the wrong reasons. And what you do is you go back to the career management document and you relook what you've got and you say, have I really looked at everything carefully for this particular company? If you're sending the same resume out to everybody and you're looking in 3 different industries at 3 different levels of jobs or something like that, then you're not working hard enough to go back, create a more complete document. A career management document is something that captures virtually everything you've done in almost annoying detail so that then when you apply your experience to company A versus company B, you tailor the experiences that will be most appealing to company A. And for company B, you go through and you perhaps choose different ones. Now, 80% of them may be the same, but that 20% could make a difference. And to me, that's part of what we mean when we say change your resume. If you're not doing that, I would start with that as changing and then do what we recommend, which is tailor your resume to the opportunity. And look, we don't want to throw everything out. And we respect that. The market is hard. The market is, this has been since 2008 now. It's been a long, slow process. The market is starting to warm up. And I would say one final thing. Don't blame your resume. If you're getting negative, start talking to your network and stay positive because things will change. And remember, the purpose of the resume is not to get you a job. It's just to get you an interview. I think Wendy's point about interviewing, about are you getting interviews? If you're getting interviews, but you're not getting hired, it's not your resume, then that's a different problem. And you probably need our interviewing series.
And that's another reason, that whole negativity thing, that's another reason for volunteering or getting an internship, because just giving other people value will make you feel better about the job search.
Good. Okay. Summarize for us.
Okay. Well, resumes haven't changed in 100 years. And they're not going to change now.
Despite what the press says.
Yeah, exactly. And you still need to be able to show what you've done and how well you've done it, which is what the job description and the accomplishments show. And the emphasis shifts a little bit with the years, which is why we do this every year. And keeping up with it, even if you're not looking right now, just keeping up with what's going on out there is a good thing. And next year, we'll tell you what's most important next year.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's our annual cast on resume guidance. Resumes don't change as much as the common world wants you to. Stick with us. We'll be back next year with more good guidance.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.